Okay, what we're going to be doing, we're going to go off Romans for a while until after the New Year's, until after New Year's is on Sunday, January 1st. So we'll go back to Romans on January the 8th, I believe, if that's a Sunday. So we're going to be, for the next 2 months, this month, we're going to be on what I call a season of Thanksgiving or the voice of Thanksgiving. And then in December, we're going to be doing what's called a series on the promises of Christmas. So that's the upcoming, what we're going to be. We'll be back in Romans chapter 8 after the New Year's. You might say, well, the New Year's is a long ways away. No, the New Year's is not a long ways away. It's not very many days, actually. But we're here this morning, and I want to encourage us. You know, you hear so much talk. Wherever you go, and a lot of it's a lot of negative talk, and what we have to be careful with as believers, that we don't get wrapped up into the negative stuff or the criticisms or being, fault-finding. It's so much better to give thanks to God. All of us have so much here this morning that we can thank the Lord for. I walk through grocery stores like ShopRite or Tops, and I look at the shelves and they are packed with food, you know. And then you run sales, like Green Giant sale in ShopRite is 49 cents for canned corn or canned green beans or canned peas. I say, man, that's a pretty good deal. And we have it really good. We got nothing to complain about. And so it's so important to give thanks to God, to give thanks to the Lord. And I'm not saying to jack ourselves up with our own selves to give thanks, but let the Holy Spirit control our lives. If the Holy Spirit is in control of our lives, we looked at this in my Sunday school class, it says that we'll give thanks when the Spirit of God, when we're filled with the Spirit of God. So I want to really focus on that for the next few weeks. And of course, on Thanksgiving Eve, which we'll have a service here, will be an opportunity for people to get up and give thanks or praise the Lord for things in their lives. So we're turning to 1 Chronicles. Gerard read that whole passage. The reason he did is because you have to read the whole passage to get the context of what's being spoken here. This is a psalm spoken by David, and actually it's a composite of three psalms. It's actually a composite of three psalms. It's a composite of Psalm 105, 96, and 106. If you look at those psalms, you'll see some of these parts in those three psalms. 105, 1 through 15, Psalm 96, 1 through 13, and Psalm 106, verses 1 and 47 and 48. It's a psalm of thanksgiving when the Ark of the Covenant was brought back to Jerusalem. Now, let me just give you a little bit of the background of that first before we proceed on with this. As you recall, when Israel came out of Egypt, they were in bondage. They cried for a deliverer. God raised up a man by the name of Moses from the burning bush. He went back. And he initially had some objections about going. He was sort of afraid. He didn't want to go. He says, who's sending me? And the Lord said, I am that I am. It's in Exodus chapter 3. And, of course, he went back. And Pharaoh initially did not let the children of Israel go. It took actually 10 plagues, the last one being the Passover. And after the Passover, when they put the blood on the doorpost, the death passed over the houses that the blood applied, which was the Israelites. But the ones that didn't, they lost their firstborn. So after that, Pharaoh said, you can go. But as they left Egypt, they got to the Red Sea. And when they got to the Red Sea, Pharaoh had a change of mind. And he followed them with his army. Now here you have the Israelites. You got a Red Sea in front of them, a physical object. And you got this Egyptian army coming very quickly behind them in chariots. But a miracle happened at the Red Sea. We all know the miracle. He opened the Red Sea up, and it was dry ground. I often think about that. Imagine opening the Hudson River up and having it dry. On the bottom, wouldn't happen. But that was a miracle that God did. And of course, they passed through the Red Sea, and then it closed up on the Egyptians. And they got into the wilderness. They were to go into the Promised Land. Actually, they were to go in there about 11 to 15 days. It took them 40 years because of disobedience. But two very important things happened at Mount Sinai. Moses was given the law, the Ten Commandments, the religious law, the social law. And then he was also given them a tabernacle, a pattern. God gave them a pattern to build a tabernacle. And it was a tent of meetings. And the tabernacle faced east. And it was 150 feet long by 75 feet wide. And it had different compartments. The innermost compartment was called the Holy of Holies. And the high priest only could go in there once a year. Outside the Holy of Holies was a table of showbread, was a candlestick, and also an altar of incense. At the very entrance was the brazen altar. And also they had the place where they could, the laver, where they could cleanse themselves. But then beyond the curtain was the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark had four things. It had the tablets of law, two tablets of law. It had Aaron's rod that budded, and had a golden pot of manna. Then over the Ark would have been about that size of the communion table, a little smaller maybe lengthwise. And over it was what's called the mercy seat. And there were two cherubim that faced down towards the mercy seat. And once a year, the high priest would sprinkle blood on the mercy seat. And the Lord would see the blood, and their sins would be covered. And the only the high priest could go in there once a year. There was this curtain. Now, you may recall, when you come to the New Testament, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, now the tabernacle, which was a portable moving tent, had become a permanent structure called the temple. Okay, but this is not the temple yet. It's still the tabernacle here in 1 Chronicles 16. But let me just jump ahead to the New Testament era. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, what happened to that veil? It rent from top to bottom. They say the veil was probably the size of a man's hand across here. I just think about this a lot. What was it like when the priest went in there and saw that veil rent from the top to bottom? It was signifying that Jesus Christ had finished the work and the access was open. And praise the Lord. We're going to have the Lord's Supper this morning, a reminder of what occurred on the cross of Calvary. Now, getting back to this. So when they came across, finally, after 40 years, when they came into Canaan, they still had the tabernacle, and it was set up in Shiloh. But when David became king, under his kingship, the tabernacle was moved down to Jerusalem, the capital. And that's what we find here. We find a prayer of thanksgiving, a psalm of thanksgiving to God. And it's a wonderful, as Gerard was reading that this morning, I was just in awe on the praise and the glory to God for this, what he'd done. And that's why I wanted to start with this, to get our focus on the Lord and to get our focus on thanksgiving and what we have to be thankful for. So I would encourage you, take one of these cards, one or more. Put on it what you're thankful for. Let's fill that board up. And again, it has to be the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, obviously. And it's just a wonderful thing to give thanks. Give thanks. The Bible, you know, we have one day a year we call Thanksgiving, coming up on the 24th of November. But every day is a Thanksgiving day for the believer. Every day is a day which we give. That's a great way to begin your day. When you wake up in the morning, start the day with Thanksgiving. You know? And listen, I'm just as guilty as everybody. Complain. Anybody here ever? Is there anybody here that never complained? Like I said, I go around and talk to people, And it seems like this election is a real hot button for some reason. I don't know why. Well, I know why. But it's become a very divisive and complaining issue. And as believers, we have to be careful we don't get wrapped up into it, because it doesn't mean we're not concerned or we don't care. But we also have to remember who's in charge. Who is the Lord? Our Lord is still the sovereign Lord of the universe. Amen? And I'm trusting him. Amen. And we're going to trust him for everything. Amen. That's it. Now, I'd just like to go through some of the verses in this psalm and some of the sections. Obviously, we can't cover the whole thing. It's a very lengthy passage from verse 8 to verse 36. So I just want to hit some of the highlights of what David in this psalm, and like I said, it's Psalm 105, 96, 106. You can look it up later and you'll see that this psalm, this passage is composed of those different psalms. But I have on the outline in the bulletin that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. The verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then the psalm of the season will be Psalm 100, which we're going to be doing next week. Psalm 100. And praise the Lord for that psalm. It's only five verses. Now, first of all, you'll notice Asaph. Asaph, I was thinking of Marion here this morning. Asaph, let me just read you something about Asaph here. A Levite, and Asaph sounded cymbals before the Ark of the Covenant when it was moved from the house of Obed-Edom to Jerusalem. Asaph's family became one of three families given responsibility for music and song in the temple. I shared it on Friday night with the children. One of the things, you know, and I know you're not to look back, but one of the things I sort of regret a little, maybe a lot, I was wrapped up in sports. And when it came to music theory and art, I didn't put a lot of emphasis on it, sad to say. I appreciate music a lot now. I appreciate singing a lot. I appreciate people that have wonderful voices. But I also appreciate congregational singing. I was wrapped up in the sports. Everybody knows that. You've heard me say it a thousand times. I ate, drank, and slept baseball. I knew the starting lineup of the Brooklyn Dodgers. I knew, I can still give you the starting lineup from the 1955 World Series Dodgers. Okay, I knew all that stuff. But when it came to music in school, I didn't spend a lot of time. We had a music class. We did those funny things and, you know, the notes. But I wish now, as I look back, and this is why I want to encourage your children. Let your children get involved in music. Nothing wrong with sports, but let them get involved in music. We need to encourage the children of the church to take on musical instruments. Amen? You got it, right? You can hear the music people, they're saying, preach it. Yes, we need piano players. We need people that play instruments. It's a very vital part. And when I read about this man, Asaph, I said, wow. He was given special abilities of song in the temple. Following the captivity, 128 singers from this family returned to Babylon and conducted the singing when the foundation of Zerubbabel's temple was laid. So there were a lot of singing, a lot of praising, a lot of glorifying God. And we do this. We don't sing to entertain. We sing to worship. We sing to glorify God. And this is such a big part of our worship service, our singing. So, in line of that, I've been listening to some Christmas songs. I love O Holy Night. I absolutely love that song. O Holy Night. We got to have special music on Christmas Eve for that. Anybody listening? Now, give thanks. Verse 8. Give thanks unto the Lord. Give thanks. That's how this starts. After David in this prayer, when this psalm, this first psalm to thanks to the Lord, and he gave it to the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Listen, let's make known his deeds among the people. That's why I'm saying if we write something on that board, we're telling the folks, and it's an encouragement when you read those cards. I've already read a few of them that are up there on the board already. It's a blessing to see they're giving thanks to God. So we give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks. And then in verse 9, you see, sing unto the Lord. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Listen, look at the wondrous works. You know, I think a lot about creation. And I think of the heavens and the earth and the expanse of this universe. And look at what he did. Look what he... And I was thinking... I'm just overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. By the amount of oil God has put in the earth. Look at the cars in the parking lot. Look at the cars riding around. Look at the planes. There's an incredible amount of oil in the earth. Who put it there? God did. You know? And I don't think there's any foreseeable future where we're going to run out of it. They're finding new oil fields all over the place. You know, off of in Alaska, off the North Sea area, of course, the Middle East, the United States itself. It's incredible what God's put in this. And I was thinking about, he put that there for us. To have heat in buildings, to drive cars, to ride in airplanes. Where do you think all this stuff came from? It came from God. Of course, it needed to be refined at different levels for whatever fuel you needed. But God did that. And just that thing alone, I was thinking about that the other day, driving along. I'm driving a car in which God has put the fuel in the earth, the oil in the earth, so I can drive this car. Amen, right? And not only that, there's just so many things he's given. The food we eat is, like I said already, you go in a store and you see food. And let's be thankful instead of saying, oh, no, we're going to have Denny Moore stew again. Hey, Denny Moore stew is pretty good. That was the first meal we had when we got into our house. We had worked all day and we had Denny Moore stew. Do they make that anymore? Sell it? But, you know, be thankful what God puts in front of you. And enjoy it. Now, so give thanks and sing unto the Lord. Then he goes from singing unto the Lord, and of course singing is praising God. Like I said, when the choir starts practicing here today, they're not practicing to entertain us, right? They're practicing to worship the Lord and to edify the saints, to build up the body of Christ. That's why we sing. Listen, in congregational singing, don't worry about the style of your voice. Some of us have very good voices. Some of us, our voices aren't as well, mine being one of them. But I love to sing. You know, I see it once in a while when I'm singing, people have a smile on their face. They say his heart may be in it, but his voice isn't. Okay, praise the Lord. I see it at the nursing homes. Sometimes we have to sing without the musical instruments, and I've learned to learn these hymns in my head in order to carry the tune. But praise God for singing. Sing unto the Lord. Sing out. Don't be afraid. Sing. Okay, so we praise the Lord. We're singing to the Lord. Somebody said this. I don't know how theologically accurate this is, but it sounded good. They said what the angel does is take your voice, and when it gets to heaven, he's transformed your voice into beautiful music. I don't know how accurate that is theologically, but I know one thing. God wants to hear your voice from your heart. Okay, now just moving on here to verse 10. Glory, glorify the Lord's holy name. Glory ye in his holy name. Listen, his name is holy. We're not to use God's name wrong. You and I know, you hear it. Probably everybody hears it every week someplace. You hear it openly. Okay, the name of God is not used properly. The name of Jesus is not used properly. We're to use his name very reverently. Actually, in the Old Testament, when it came to the name Lord, capital, all capitals, Jehovah, Yahweh, They were so meticulous in saying that or translating that from one manuscript to another, they would literally do this. They would literally take a bath. Can you imagine that? We could jump in a shower and take a shower in 10 minutes. They had to take a bath because they were so meticulous on that name. That name Lord, that name Yahweh, that name Jehovah. In the Hebrew, it's called a tetragrammaton. It's four Hebrew letters. Okay? And it's a very, very special name. So we have to reverence his name. His name is above all names. That's another song I've listened to. Above all power, above all things, right? You know, his name is above all power, above all things. And praise the Lord. So think about that. Glory in his name. Let the heart of them rejoice and seek the Lord. Then in verse 11, in 10 and 11, but seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Listen, we need to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. I know sometimes we seek things. We all do. But things can never satisfy your heart. He's the one that satisfies our life. Seek the Lord. Seek him in your family. Seek him in your own personal life. Look to the Lord and say, Lord, I need your direction. I need your guidance. I can't do it myself. I need your help. Seek the Lord. Casting all our care upon him because he cares for us. We are to seek the Lord. When you're faced with something in your life, whatever it is you may be faced with, look to the Lord. Speak to him. Talk to him about it. Seek his face. You know, can you imagine what it's going to be when we go to heaven and we're going to see the Lord face to face? I love the hymn, Face to Face I Shall Behold Him. It's going to be an incredible thing to see the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's going to be something. But in one sense, we see his face already through the Word of God, through the eyes of our heart, by the Holy Spirit ministering to us. We can see the Lord. We have a relationship with him. And it's a dynamic, vital relationship that we have with our Lord and God. And we all need it. I know I do. I need to seek him continually in my life. And he goes on here, and he's talking about the covenant here, the covenant with Abraham. That's back in Genesis chapter 12 and the following chapters in Genesis, where God called out a man by the name of Abram from the Chaldeans, which would be down in the Persian Gulf. And he called him to go back up to Haran and then over to Canaan. And he gave him a covenant. He gave him, it's in Genesis chapter 12. He says, I'll make you a great nation. And he goes on in that covenant, says, all the families of the earth would be blessed. And of course, that's us. Not only Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and the Jewish folks, but also the Gentiles. We enter into the blessings and the covenant of God. We were on his mind. He knew us. Even before the foundation of the world, he knew you. He knew me. And that's a wonderful thing. And he already wrote it in his command, in his covenants, because it was already established in the eternal councils of the Godhead that he would send a man by the name of Abram and change his name to Abraham. And, you know, it's in Genesis, like I said, 12 and the following chapters there, telling about Abram and Sarah. And, of course, they would have a child. They didn't believe it initially. They did other means. But God said, no, that's not the way. It's going to be Isaac, the promised son. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And out of Israel came a tribe by the name of Judah. And out of that tribe came a family by the name of David. And out of that tribe came a man by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's of the house and lineage of David. And that's a promise and a covenant that was given by God. And praise the Lord for that. So we have so much to be thankful for. Then, just jumping over to 24. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. Declare his glory. You know, declaring his glory is a wonderful thing for all of us to do. We went to a Gideon pastoral appreciation dinner on Thursday night. Ralph was there, Donna was there. Jerry was going to come, but her mom had to go to the hospital that day, right? And so, but we heard again, as I always enjoy going to those Gideon appreciation dinners, not just to have the meal, which is always good, but to hear the testimonies, to hear the message, to hear what God's doing, right? And this one particular man, they had a testimony on the overhead about him. He, at a young age, he was brought up in a cult home. And he couldn't take it anymore. And he left the cult home. I think he came over to North Carolina, right? To his grandparents. And his grandparents, he ends up in his grandparents' house. And he decided on Sunday morning he wasn't going to go to church. Well, guess what the grandparents said? You're going to church, right? He went. And a man was there, a Gideon, and said, son, I'd like you to have this Bible. It was a Gideon Bible. Gideon Place, actually the right terminology is a Gideon Place Bible. Okay, and he gave it to him. And then as a result of that, through a number of situations, he came to the Lord, Jesus Christ. He said in that cult that his parents were involved in, he never heard of Jesus Christ. He heard about him, but not properly, not rightly. But when he heard that Jesus Christ loved him and died for him, he accepted and received Jesus Christ into his life, and it changed him. This is declaring the glory of God. This is declaring the work of the Lord. The Lord is still on the throne, and he is still working, and he's still working through you and through me. He's working in Africa, in Kenya. He's working in Rhinebeck. Never get discouraged. You know, right back in that room where those children are, I can see him right through the door there. He's working in that junior church with those children and those leaders back there. He's working here as the Holy Spirit is working. He's working where you are, whatever you're doing. So we declare the glory of God. We praise the Lord. We give him all the praise, the honor, and glory. Amen? So we lift him up and declare him. Let's find ourselves declaring the glory of God more and more in these days. Don't be afraid. God's glory, and God will be lifted up. Declare the glory of the Lord. And so it says here, declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. All nations. Listen, the gospel is out to all nations, right? Martin shared in that verse up there, as Jesus said, so send I you. I'm sending you. He's sending them. And he wants you involved. When I picked up Louie this morning, I typically listen to James Boyce. He's on 8 o'clock on WFME 105.3 at 8 o'clock. I heard him. He was telling about how Jesus, when he fed the 5,000, how he engaged the disciples in that work. There was a little boy there with some fish and some bread. And he multiplied it. Then he handed it out to the apostles. And they handed it out to the people. See, what he does, God does things miraculously, but he engages us in his work. So when you give like a track out, you're just extending the work of God through that track to somebody, or a Bible, or a testimony, or a witness, or a word of encouragement. You're just a tool in the hand of the Almighty God. And praise the Lord. And what you're doing really is declaring the glory of God. You're declaring the Lord. You're lifting up the Lord. And we see it in creation. Turn with me just to Psalm, and I'm going to have to stop soon. Psalm 19. You get on a roll. Psalm 19. And I'm going to just read a couple verses here, then finish this up, and then we'll have the Lord's Supper. Psalm 19. I love this psalm. This is one of my favorites. Psalm 19. Look what it says about declare. The heavens declare the glory of God. Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Listen. You know, our children, sad to say, are be taught that evolution is the right way. Who created the heavens and the earth? God did. He spoke and it was done, right? He's the creator. Listen, in John, in Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was," or that's John 1:1. God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, John 1:1, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things that goes on in there, it says, were made by Him and for Him. And it talks about the creation. God is our creator. The heavens declare the glory of God. When you see the heavens, they declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows His handiwork. Then when you come to the last verse, now here's us declaring. The heavens declare the glory of God. But in verse 14 of Psalm 19, it says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." By that testimony, we're declaring the glory of God. We're lifting Him up. "Let the words of my mouth," this mouth here that you've given me, Lord, and this heart that you've given me, let it be glorifying you as we speak of you, Lord, my strength and my redeemer, our God. We lift you up and we give you thanks, Lord, today. We praise your holy name for all the things that you've done and are continuing to do through our lives. So, now, just finishing this up, as I said, jumping down to like a doxology here in verse 34 to 36 of this passage in 1 Chronicles. Oh, give thanks. Verse 34. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. Who knows the last verse of Psalm 23? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will, where will I dwell? In the house of the Lord forever. See, this Chronicles is talking about the house of the Lord there, the temple, the tabernacle back then, and then the temple later on, but now we are going to go to the house of the Lord. We could call this building the house of the Lord in a sense, but really, the house of the Lord will be the place where we're going to dwell forever. We're going to be with the Lord. We're going to be with Him forever. Can you imagine what that's like? You know what it's like when you're around somebody you just like to be with? You enjoy it. You enjoy them. You enjoy one another. I enjoy being here with you folks. I love it. I look forward to it. But can you imagine what it's going to be like in heaven to be with the Lord forever and to enjoy Him and to worship Him and to be there with Him and to see Him face to face? What a day of rejoicing that's going to be when we see Jesus and we're going to be with Him. Amen. In the house of the Lord forever. And now, as He finishes this up, He says this, and say ye, verse 35, save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise. Now look at the last verse. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said what? Amen. And praise the Lord. All the people said amen. And praise. You can imagine, as this was being said and declared, what it was like. And the people are hanging on every word that was coming out of their mouths. And to realize, when he got done, all the people said amen and praise the Lord. All of us say amen and praise the Lord. Amen means we agree wholeheartedly with it. We're in agreement with it. And we praise the Lord. Who knows Psalm, we're going to end with this. Who knows Psalm 150, verse 6? You got it, Ray. Say it, Ray. Okay, let everything that hath breath. Who has breath here? Let me see your hands. Okay, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. We praise the Lord because we have breath. I can praise God. I can use my voice. I can lift up my Lord. I can glorify His name. I can thank Him for so many things, for all the blessings that come from His hand of grace. He's bestowed upon us freely and wonderfully. And praise God. In Romans 8:32, it says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" And we praise you, Lord. We glorify you. We lift you up. And we lift up Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who died on the cross for our sins and paid the price in full. And here I stand, a believer. I'm going to be with the Lord forever. I trust everybody here today can say, "I know Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior." We're going to come to the table now in the communion to remember what Jesus did for us as we share in the bread and the cup, a reminder of his body and blood. Tom's going to lead us in the singing of "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." Let us come with thanksgiving in our hearts to the table.